When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. Samuel, is that where your heart is? Is that where your eyes are this morning? Looking. That time will go to be with the Lord. What a blessed promise we have to look forward to. And that even as we come to the book of Hebrews this morning, we are given that lesson even in as seeing those that walked ahead by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 11. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised, and therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter of faith in the Bible. It presents some of that great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us in life and whose lives can give us an example of faith, in the true Christian life. This chapter helps us to see faith being played out in the lives of individuals, reminding us of various ones who have gone on before us. Their lives are a demonstration of faith, true faith, given to us as a picture of faith. Today, we'll look at Abraham's household. We looked at Abraham's life some last message. We look at Abraham's household and note the effect that one man's faith has upon them and even upon us today. So as we come to the 11th verse, we come to Sarah's faith. Sarah's faith. Sarah that believed God. We believe that Sarah had a quiet, abiding faith. A quiet, abiding faith. And for that, I would like us to go to the book of 1 Peter, and just we're going to go there for just a little bit to start off this morning, because in 1 Peter chapter 3, while Peter there is talking about the some instructions to women, he speaks of Sarah. He speaks of Sarah. When he says in the fourth verse how it needs to be of the hidden man of the heart, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is great price, it says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." You know, as we look at Sarah, and as I begin, there's not a lot that we see and that is recorded of Sarah, but there are some things that I think that we can learn there, and we see of Sarah's faith and her confidence in the Lord and her believing God. I see in these verses from Peter, as well as we just see kind of, I guess, in her example of following Abraham, that she took her place as a wife. She was not an Old Testament feminist. But she adorned herself. She adorned herself in putting herself under her husband, in obeying her husband. There aren't many today that take seriously, and there are many that even want removed from their marriage vows the word obey. But Sarah adorned herself. I mean, that was a way that she made her spirit known. That spirit within her, it came out in the fruit of her obedience unto her husband as she placed herself under his leadership. It says there that she called him Lord. She recognized that he was over her. No, she didn't call him Lord as being God, but as recognizing the place that the Lord had given to him in her life. And so it says that Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. It's interesting that passage in Peter goes on to say, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. I guess you can ask yourself, are you a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of Sarah, whose daughter you are? We hear that sometimes, are you a son of Abraham in his faith? But here to the ladies, are you a daughter of Abraham? It says that as long as you do well, Sarah did well in following her husband. We talked about Abraham going out, not knowing where he went. Just all he had the word of God. He followed the Lord. I think of sometimes we don't think of Sarah in the midst of that. Sarah, who was asked to leave her home. Men are more adventuresome. At least I'm speaking in general terms, not in specific to point out any man or any woman, because sometimes those things are a little bit different. But in general, women have kind of a nesting instinct. I mean, they want that stability of the home, and they want to be able to make that a home. And think about Sarah. Sarah following her husband. Where are we going? I don't know. Where are we going to live? I don't know. I'm following the Lord. I hadn't thought about this until even now, but I remember when I was before my wife's father asking him for her hand in marriage, and I don't remember the questions he asked, but I remember ones I was afraid of. How much money do you have in the bank? How are you going to provide for her when you get out there? You're leaving from college with, now you don't have any debt, but you don't have anything, you got nothing to go on, and you're going on to seminary. How are you going to provide for her? I don't know what questions he asked, but I know I was fearful of those questions, because all I could say was, we're going to go out and work and follow the Lord and see how the Lord provides. I mean, I had nothing to give him but the Lord. Certainly this is what Abraham had to give Sarah. He had the Lord to give her. She followed him, knowing only that he was following God by faith. It says that you are a daughter of Sarah. If you're not afraid with any amazement, it appears that what he's saying here is, she trusted God to lead her husband. She trusted God to lead her husband. And that from what it's saying there, you would say that she did not go out in great fear. How could you not fear? She had her trust in God. How many ladies can be called? How many ladies can be called the daughter of Abraham, the daughter of Sarah? How many can be called the daughter of Sarah? Certainly. I believe that God has given me one of those daughters of Sarah. God's given me a faithful wife, a wife that's obedient, a wife that has placed herself under her husband, not because her husband is some great, great man, but she just trusts God to lead me. She's placed herself under my authority, and she doesn't seem to fear. That has to come because of trusting God. A woman of faith, trusting in God. I could say that as I live and experience living with my wife, a daughter of Sarah, yes, one that I can rise up and call her blessed, as the Proverbs 31. Sarah Yes, there we see, I think, a quiet, abiding faith in Sarah. And so I thought it was good to go to 1 Peter and see those verses as Peter is giving counsel to the Christians in this New Testament day, a New Testament age, as he's given counsel there to them. He uses Sarah as an example. It says there in verse 11 that we've read, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah knew the promises that had been given to Abraham. She knew those things that God had promised, and how that from him would be a great nation, and how that God was going to give through him not only that he'd be made a great nation, but from him even the nations of the world would be blessed. She knew the promises to Abraham. You know, I think about Sarah, and I'm sure that some of the occasion that comes to your mind, yeah, but what about Sarah? What about Sarah when she told Abraham that he needed to take a second wife and he needed to take Hagar? What about that? You know, the Bible doesn't tell us much. But I, thinking about Sarah, I thought, you know, Sarah greatly sacrificed what she thought she needed to do to make it happen. She thought, if God is going to make Abraham a great man and there's going to be a nation of people after him, and I'm not able to have children, you know, you can imagine her feelings. Telling Abraham that in order for God's plan to go forward, that he needed to do such. That would have been a great grief and a great sacrifice. And, of course, as you know the story, it also welled up. There's not room for two women in a house. I mean, and you, as you remember the story and you remember rivalry and things that came up there. And we're looking at Sarah's faith, but you know, Sarah needed to learn to wait upon the Lord. We saw that with Abraham. I mentioned that in the last message. Though Abraham was a man of great faith, that didn't mean his faith was a perfect faith. And I believe that Sarah needed to learn to wait on the Lord. She needed to know that it wasn't up to her to make God's plans work. Isn't that what happens to us sometimes? We think we need, in order to make God's plans work, that we need to take things into our own hands. And though I see Sarah as, I think it was a tremendous grief and sacrifice to her for that particular occasion, you know, I see that spirit within her, but I believe it was a time of needing to learn to wait on the Lord. You can be a person of faith, a person of great faith, and then you can get impatient. Do you ever get impatient? You ever get impatient and think you need to take things into your own hands and make it work? Because I don't think the Lord's going to do this. There's another occasion when you go to Genesis 18, and there is the occasion where the Lord had come and was speaking to Abraham and telling Abraham that it was not through Hagar, it was not through Ishmael that uh, that this blessing was going to come, but it was going to be of a son that was going to be from Sarah. And when you come to Genesis 18, verse 12, it says, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?'" It said, you know, she's in the tent next, hearing this conversation. I mean, in that she's not right there in the presence, but she's hearing this conversation. And she hears the Lord saying that Sarah is going to have a child. And it's going to be from that child. She's past the time of life of having children. She's way past the time of life. Abraham is now past the time of being able to father a child. I think she's, it was like, how can this be? How can this be? Is that a wavering of her faith? Well, certainly the Lord said, "Sarah, why did you laugh?" "I didn't laugh," she said. It says there in the 15th verse, she was afraid. Here she was being accused, and it was true, but she was afraid to admit it, but the Lord rebuked her and said, "No, but you did laugh. No, but you did laugh." She was rebuked of the Lord. So when you put that together, and you come here to Hebrews 11, and it says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." I think it would be easy for us to just take the passage there in Genesis and say, "Boy, Sarah didn't have faith. She laughed." But we're told here that it was through faith. We're told here that, Sarah's faith was not a perfect faith. Her faith needed to be strengthened. When she laughed, the Lord rebuked her for that. He says, "You laughed. You laughed." And in that 14th verse, she needed to hear the Lord's word. The Lord said in that 14th verse of Genesis there, he said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" He says, "At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." You see, Sarah laughed. "I'm too old. Abraham's too old. It doesn't happen." The Lord said, "You laughed. You laughed. But is anything too hard for me?" Have you had to be rebuked for your faith? Have you had to be rebuked? Those of you who are people of faith, when you come to Christ, you come to him by faith. We're a people of faith. We're to be a people that walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes we need the Word of God just to come and to minister to our hearts and remind us of the person of our God, remind us who he is. And so the Lord said, is anything too hard for me? You think I can't take an old man and an old woman, and I can't give them a child, and I can't do what I said I'm going to do? He's letting him know, yes, I can do that. That's not beyond me. You see, in Hebrews here it says that she judged him faithful. She judged him faithful who had promised. She took that rebuke. And she took that promise that God had made. And she believed God. And she believed God. Sometimes we think that faith is something that that is out there, and really it's beyond me. Boy, we can see these Old Testament, you know, we're looking here in Hebrews, these great giants of faith. But they had to have their faith strengthened. They had to hear the word of God. They had to be rebuked. Had to be rebuked. Then they believed God. They knew that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now it says, through faith she received strength. Hers was not a perfect faith, but her faith needed strengthened. She, as her husband, needed to grow in her faith, yet she believed God. She knew that he is, and he's the rewarder of them that seek him. Remember, we go to that first verses there of Hebrews 11. She was rewarded for her faith. Through faith, it says, she received strength to conceive seed. The Lord opened her womb. And the Lord gave to Abraham an ability to father a child. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. That ought to be a reminder to us. It ought to be something that as we seek to walk by faith, that what the Lord promises, he will do. And he can do. And so what we know, the Lord will fulfill his promises. So she judged him faithful, who had promised. And so through strength, and so there we see that action of faith. We see it is the working of God. And yet we see that as Sarah responded in faith, then the Lord fulfilled even as he had promised. We come to the 12th verse. Abraham and Sarah's offspring's faith. We look at now not just Sarah's faith, but the offspring, those that they have, how they had faith. They believed God. It says, therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. There from Abraham, that one. From him, there is no possibility of fathering a child. As him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. There were those that were recipients of that faith, of Abraham and Sarah. From Abraham and Sarah, of course, we know that Isaac, then came Isaac, the one, the promised one. Then he had Jacob and Esau. And then from Jacob we see come the 12 sons that are the 12 tribes of Israel. There we see a multiplying a nation. From them come a people that are recipients. Recipients that come from one that is anything too hard for the Lord? When the Lord, it's interesting, you go back to Genesis, when the Lord had told this to Abraham, that he would have a son of Sarah, he says, well, you've given me Ishmael, you know, and that's, you know, it's like, well, what about Ishmael? And the Lord said, well, I'll take care of him, and there'll be people come from him. But Isaac, it is from Sarah. It is from Isaac that this nation will come. An innumerable multitude. You know, as you look at that, the desire and the intent there is not that you go to the seashore and count all the grains of sand, or that you go into the sky and we keep seeing stars and more stars as they get more powerful telescopes and more universes and things that go way beyond ours. We don't count those to find out how many he had. The issue is you can't count the stars. They're innumerable. You can't count the sand on the seashore. And so the Lord has given to Abraham and to Sarah, he's given to them an innumerable multitude from which that have come from them. And of them, men of faith. Look in verse 13. And this multitude, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They died in faith. They had not received the promises that God had made. They knew those promises. They knew that they had been told the promises that had been made to Abraham. They had seen the working of God on their behalf. These that died in faith, they saw how God worked and God supplied and God cared for them. Yet the promises were still unfulfilled. The promises were still unfulfilled. Is that not like the mockers of today? Those today who know the promises, they know what they are, but they reject him, men without faith in the Word of God. And Peter, we're warned of those mockers that will come saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. We live in a day of mockers. We live in a day when people say, well, things have remained the same from the beginning of time. Of course, it goes on to say they're willingly ignorant of what God did in the flood. They're willing to ignorance that God has intervened in the course of man. But the point is here is that these ones had not received the promises. But what, look, they looked ahead. They're in 13, in the middle it says, but they having seen them afar off. Faith believes God. Faith looks beyond that which can be seen. It has the substance of God's word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the substance of God's word that they had. And faith looks beyond the immediate. And it looks ahead. It looks afar off. It looks ahead to what God has said and what God has promised. It looks beyond the present. I believe when Sarah was rebuked, when Sarah recognized, no, there's nothing that's too hard for God, she by faith looked beyond her present circumstances. And their offspring that were those that were men of faith, what did they do? They had not received the promises themselves, but they saw them afar off and they were persuaded of them. They embraced them. You see, faith trusts in God's promises. God has promised, so it's going to happen. Amen. You know, and that's where, You know, I just enjoyed again in hearing that great hymn that Mr. Hughes ministered to us in this morning, because I know that it's true. I know, I am persuaded that I am going to go to be with the Lord. I have no doubt, because I believe God, and I know that what he says is true, and so I am persuaded that it is going to be. Amen. So if you have that kind of faith this morning, you can rejoice in joy in hearing one declare in song, looking forward to the coming of the Lord and going to be with the Lord. Those are things they looked ahead and they were persuaded and they confessed. It says they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'm just a stranger here. This world isn't my home. I'm a pilgrim here. I'm just traveling through. The wilderness wanderings were there for them for a lesson, I believe. They were there for a lesson for them to look beyond, to recognize that they were looking to the promises of God. They were being taught to look beyond their present to a land that was promised by God. And the promises they embraced were far greater than the land of Canaan. The promises they embraced were far greater than just a piece of land that God was going to give them in Canaan. You know, the mindset of the Christian faith must be that we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. As a person of faith, you need to see beyond. God's going to provide for my family here. God's going to care for me. You know, when we recognize that the Lord cares for his own, we rejoice with David when he said, I was young and I am now old and I've not seen the righteous, suffer hunger. But we need to recognize we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We live and move in this present world, and we seek to provide for the present realities. We have to provide for the present realities of life. God hasn't determined for us to leave our jobs, leave our homes, and go up and sit on a hillside waiting for the Lord to come. We deal with the present realities. He that cares not for his own in this life, it says we're worse than an infidel. But it's still, we're to keep that eye on the sky. Not just on the sky, but a confident belief in God and his promises. A looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. A looking for the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Waiting for the shout, for the voice of the archangel. For the dead in Christ to rise, and then we which are alive and remain to be caught up together with him. When we are called out, and we're called up to him, our bridegroom. That is to be the mindset of the believer, looking ahead, not just to the provision that God will make for us here. And I believe as we look forward in this passage, we recognize that was their faith as well. It was not just for the promised land of Canaan. As we look here in the 14th verse, it says, well, at the end of 13, they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, and the reason, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They declare plainly that they seek a country. There is something that is beyond. It is beyond this earth. Verse 15, And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from where they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I think here we consider that when we look at we look at these offspring of Abraham and Sarah, we look at them in the wilderness wanderings, and if they had thought, if they had been mindful of Egypt, they would have gone back and they would have gone to that place. But it says, but they seek something better. The 16th verse, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. There are those today that believe that those promises were just for the physical things of Israel. No, they looked beyond that land of Canaan. They desire a better country, a heavenly. As I mentioned last time, like Solomon that saw that all is vanity. Vanity of vanities. Of all the things that the earth has to provide, he said, it's emptiness. But these are not lost in despair. They have the substance of God's word. There's something ahead that is better than anything that has been known or experienced here on the earth. It is heavenly. It is reserved in God himself. It is reserved in the promises of God. Do you desire a better country? That is heavenly. Recognizing that what is here on this earth, there's nothing here that you can really grab hold on and hold on to forever. It is all vanity. It's all going to be gone. The last part of that 16th verse. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their gods, to call their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They've come to him by faith. Their faith has been counted for righteousness. Cleansed through the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood. I think today we ourselves were called to be saints. We're called his brethren, and he's prepared a place. Come by faith, seeking that is above and seeking that is heavenly, seeking that God is providing, something beyond what is here, where he has prepared for them a city. He's not ashamed to be called their God. Oh, to be called a friend of God. Have you called upon the Lord by faith? Is your faith and your confidence, your trust in him? I don't mean do you have a perfect faith. I don't mean does your faith not need to be strengthened. Maybe it's as the one who cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. God does not wait for us to have a perfect faith. But he does want us to have a faith that believes that he is and to believe that he's a rewarder of them that seek him, that believe his promises and count his promises to be true. He was not ashamed to be called their God. You come to him by faith. As they did. He's not ashamed to be called your God. And he is prepared. He's prepared a place for them. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. The things that God has prepared for them that love him, the things that we have that are revealed to us that God is doing in the future, the thing that we have a place, a home in heaven with our Lord. We have the promises and the things that are revealed to us of the new Jerusalem that is to come. We have the heaven and earth as we now know it to be passed away, but that God has given us that is new. God is prepared for us, and he is preparing. He prepared for them. He was not ashamed to be called their God. not only was not ashamed to be called their God, but making preparation. They looked for something better. One of the key words of the book of Hebrews is better. it is better beyond our comprehension, that what we have in our Lord. May the Lord give us and grant to us, yes, first of all, that saving faith that just comes to believe God and His Word. And then may He strengthen our faith and may He help us to go on and to live by faith day by day. Sometimes we'll need rebuked for our faith, our lack of faith. Rebuked that not understanding is anything too hard for the Lord. They just take God at His Word and believe Him. Then as we're rebuked to go on and trust Him and live by faith, shall we pray? Thank You, Lord, for Your Word this morning. Thank You for this wonderful book that reveals to us the life of some of those who went before us by faith. Lord, help us. Help us to know and to understand Your Word. And Lord, help us to be a people that look beyond today and what we can see, but look to the promises of our God. And Lord, that we would know that You are not then ashamed to call us Your people, and that You are preparing a place in the heavens. You're preparing a place for us. Now we pray these things in thanksgiving unto our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your hymnals.